Let's pray. That is our prayer today, Lord. We want to be still and know that you're God and allow you to be God. You're so good at that. And we're so bad at it. You're the only one who deserves to be God. Take your place here today, Lord. Do your wonderful divine work. Only you can do, Lord. That no man can do that beautiful work of transformation into the image of Jesus. Lord, let your word find soil today that's honest and good, to receive it, to keep it, and to bring forth 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. We pray for that kind of heart for every one of us. If we find some rocks today, Lord, help us to get rid of them. If we discover some weeds today, Lord, help us to pull them out. And just have your way, Lord. I confess I need you. And I just want to speak your words today, not my own. Help me, Lord. Amen. Speak through me, I pray. I yield my tongue, my mind, my thoughts to you. Bless your sheep, your people. Amen. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning and welcome, everybody, to this worship service. Welcome all the visitors that are here today. It's a blessing to be together. Just seemed, I guess, as the Lord led, that we didn't have a children's lesson or an opening meditation like we normally do, for whatever reasons. And so we're going to do the main message to begin. Is that all right? Depart from the norm. I guess in a way that my message is does have a children's lesson in it. I'm going to start out with something that might be considered an opening meditation. So maybe we can get it all in there. The Lord can do that anyway. I'd like to share a testimony in my life. As I shared Wednesday, the topic that the Lord put in my heart was the topic of failure. And understanding the purpose and the necessity of failure. Maybe you don't like that necessity word in there, but hopefully by the time I'm done, you'll see that it's true. Understanding failure. You know, sitting in this room today are a bunch of failures, right? Is there anybody that would like to stand up and claim they're not? No? No, we all are. And it's so important that we understand how to deal with that and how to, and what God has provided us to overcome that. When we read the Bible, a lot of times I think the Bible's a compressed book. Hundreds of years are compressed in one page, or two pages, or three pages. So when we read the life of, like, Abraham, we read about these incredible experiences he had with God. How God met him, how God spoke to him, how God told him this promise. And we sort of tend to get the idea that maybe the people in the Bible, they just had these revelations of God all the time. You know, that's just the way Abraham lived. But, you know, it's not really that way. Abraham lived to be 100 and how many years old? 180, I think. And we have about five or six tremendous experiences that he had with the Lord. And I found that to be the case in my life. I don't live every day in an amazing revelation of God's speaking to me. But there are times where God has done that in amazing ways in my life. And I'd like to share one of those times with you that I think illustrates this idea of understanding failure. I don't know that God has ever spoken more clearly to me than the way He did in this event. 10.5 years ago. I find usually God speaks to us in difficult circumstances. Have you ever found that? For my life anyway, when I'm at my wit's end, when I'm done, when I'm maybe ready to give up, those are the times that I've usually heard something special from God. And so I'd like to just get into this story. I'd like to share this testimony, and then after that, I'd like to share with you from the Bible why I say what the purpose of failure is and the necessity of it. Through the life of Peter and other scriptures. So 10.5 years ago, how many of you remember that the LCM was given a barn, an old barn to use for their classes? Okay, not too many. Well, fair amount. All right. Somebody generously donated the use of this barn just outside of town. And but it was a barn. It wasn't a classroom. So it needed to be remodeled. And so we got together some work days, a bunch of brothers and sisters, and we planned to put classrooms in it so that LCM could have, I don't know how many it was, 5-6 classrooms. And I was asked to lead that work day, those two work days, two Saturdays in a row. And I was excited to do that because carpentry is something I know how to do. And I wanted to serve the Lord. I wanted to do something for Jesus. And so I was very excited that I get to serve the Lord this way. You know, I get to be a part of helping this ministry. And so I went ahead and did that. The first Saturday of that was what I would call a disaster to me. I tried to do too much. I'm not really like a foreman or a leader of people as so much. I just like to do the work. And there needs to be some stairs built for this, a staircase going up to the second floor. But there also needed to be several work crews that had to get the little classrooms framed and ready for drywall. And so I tried to do everything. I tried to give direction to the people who were building up the walls, and then I tried to go back to my sawhorses and figure out my stairs and get all that done. And I found it to be one of the most frustrating days of my life, really. Because it seemed like every time I would get in my mind what I wanted to do, all of a sudden I'd hear, "Brother Paul, how do you do this? What about this? Oh, Brother Paul, what about that?" You know, I felt like I was spinning around, back and forth, back and forth. And I kind of like lost my ability to think straight. I got so frazzled. And I ended up cutting my stairs wrong. So that was like $50 worth of wood that was junk. Because those of you who know stairs know that you just can't, you know, cut a little off the bottom and, you know, make the bottom step 3 inches and the rest of them 8. That just, you can't do that. So I felt so frustrated on the way home from that day. I wanted to do something for Jesus. I wanted to serve the Lord. You know, I wanted to be a blessing. And I failed. When I got home, my wife asked me how the day go. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I think I probably said it was a disaster. And I'm not going back next week. That's what I said. I'm done. That's pretty pathetic, huh? I said, I'm not going back. I'm not doing that again. Why was I so upset? To be disappointed in yourself is what? To have believed in yourself. I thought I could do that. You know, I thought at least that's something I can do. And to just to give you an understanding of how, why this affected me so much, you have to understand what happened 2 years before, for the last 2 years of my life up to this point. In 1998, at the youth Bible school, Keith Daniel was there and I prayed Sunday night at the end of that service. He made a call for everybody who's going to say to the Lord, whatever it takes, God, make me like Jesus. Change me into your image. Live through me. And I got on my knees like most, a lot of the people there on that in that building, and I prayed very sincerely, God, I don't care what it takes. That's what I want. I've been a Christian now for 13 years, I think it was, and I was so frustrated. That it just seemed like everything I did, it was fruitless. You know, bits of things here and there that were very encouraging and a blessing. It felt like I did something for the Lord. But I sincerely got on my knees and I said, God, I don't care what it takes now. Just do whatever you need to do to make me like Jesus. 2 weeks later, I got sick. I had this chronic fatigue thing come over my body for like 4 or 5 years. Was that a coincidence? We had just moved into Lancaster City, actually right 5 months before I prayed that prayer. And I knew that God led me to go in there. And I had this supernatural witness of God that He was telling me to go to Lancaster City. And I had a sense that God was going to do something wonderful through me in Lancaster City. You know? That's what I thought. You know, it really didn't work out that way. He wanted to do something wonderful, but I think He saw I was needier than they were. I guess I had a greater need. Everything I tried to do failed. This is the way I perceived it. You know, I was leading the what they call the street ministry, which was going out every Wednesday night to street witness. And Mel had led that before he moved to Africa. And then when he left, then they asked me to do that. So I was willing. And I took it over there. And I think we had about 35 youth come every Wednesday night to go witnessing. And after about a year of my leadership, it was about 12. You know, it just kind of dwindled down. It was 30, then 25, 20, 15. I just got really, you know, the devil was just condemning me and, you know, look at you. You can't do anything. You don't know how to do it right. And I had moved into Lancaster City as an act of faith. I felt like God wanted me to be a missionary. And so I said, Lord, all right. You know, this is a little step I can take, a baby step. If you can use me there, maybe I could be a missionary someday. Everything I did failed. Nothing worked. To the point where I finally gave up, you know, that ministry. I just said, I can't do this. I'm sick. I'm sick and I'm tired. I'm weak. I can barely go to work. It seemed like everything just crumbled, you know, around me. And there's so many questions. Why, Lord? Why did you let me do this? But there's something in me that said, I'm not leaving this city until God does whatever He brought me here to do. And so I stayed there for 7 years. But here we are in 2000 at this work day. And carpentry is something I really thought I could do anyway. You know, okay, I'm not so good at witnessing. You know, things didn't work out with the street ministry. Maybe I'm not even supposed to be a missionary. But if there's one thing I know how to do, it is carpentry. And so did you see why I felt so bad after that day? That was my strong point. I couldn't even do that. It was like, Lord, I can't do anything. That's right, son. You really can't without me. I really wanted to do something for Jesus. There was good motive there. But you know, there was also something that wasn't right there. You see, my relationship with God was based on my performance. It's how I viewed it. Why did I want to be a missionary? Well, I thought being a missionary was the highest thing you could do for the Lord. So I want to be one of them. You know, the highest thing you can do for the Lord is what He wants you to do. And so, you know, a lot of times the things that we want to do for the Lord are birthed out of our own need to feel loved by God, to feel worthy. And that's where I was at. And I thank God, you know, He's so loving that He doesn't let that work. He doesn't let that work. He says, no, that's not going to come out right. I'm going to let Him fail. So that He doesn't have anything, any reason for me to love Him except that I just love Him. Because I made Him. That's a wonderful love to receive.
Amen.
So here I was. After this awful, what I really, to me at the time, felt like one of the worst days of my life. Because everything was a failure. That's how I felt. I was just like drained. Just done. We ate supper. I was in the kitchen cleaning up when I heard this awful crash from the dining room. I ran to the hall and looked in there. And here my son, Elijah, he was 3 and a half. He wanted to help me. He wanted to do something good for me. He wanted to put all the bowls on the table for breakfast on Sunday morning. And he really wanted to do something good. He really wanted to help his papa out. And there was his pathetic figure with smashed bowl fragments all around him. And I walked in and looked at that, and I just, you know, when I was doing good, when I felt good about myself, you know what I would have said to him? I can't believe you did that. What are you doing? Why'd you try to do that? But you know what? At that moment, there was none of that in me. Because I was a failure. I just stood there and I just thought, that is so sad. You know, that is so pathetic. And I felt, you know, God, this is a God thing. And I just said, hey, buddy, that's all right. You know what? Hey, you tried to do good. You know, you meant well. You really wanted to do something good. It was too much for you. It was more than you could handle. And let's clean it up. Come on. So we got the sweeper out and we cleaned it up. And I went in there to throw it in the trash and came back over and Elijah came over and he said, Papa, he said, we need some more bones. This time you get them down. I just burst into tears right there because I said, I knew God speaking to me.
God speaking to me through my son. I just burst into tears. I said, oh God, thank you. Thank you for speaking to me. Yes, that's who I am. The Father's heart. I felt the Father's heart in that moment. The Father wasn't mad at me. The Father wasn't upset with me. The Father said, hey, you wanted to do something good for me. You know, that's great. But you just didn't have what it took. You know, you need me to get those bowls down for you. And the love of the Father I felt in such a way that I never felt before. It was wonderful. God wasn't like I thought He was. I mean, if I love my son that way, how much more does my Father love me? He's way better than I am. That was one of those moments where you just hear the voice of the Lord speaking through my three-year-old son. I've never forgotten that. I don't think I can ever forget that. And I start out with this story today because really this is the picture of what I see the purpose of failure is and the response to failure. See, my son meant well. You know, he had good intentions. He just didn't understand everything. He didn't realize it's too high. I can't reach that. And we mean well, and we don't understand. And so we try things and we do things and we get a bunch of smashed fragments. And there's different ways we can respond to those broken fragments. You know, if my son had responded to me and to that event like I did to that other event that day, he would have ran out of that room, passed everybody. I'm never doing it again. I'm not going to ever put those bowls on again. No way. I'm done with that. I'm done with trying to help Dad. No, but he didn't do that. He came to me. He said, Papa, there's more needed. We don't have them all on yet. Could you help me get them? We need to get some more down. Will you get them for me? That's the response. The right response to failure. The devil wants us to respond the other way. Condemned. You didn't do it right. You don't know how to do it. You'll never do it right. Give up. Give up. And as I stood there looking at my son, you know, and crying, I just said, God, I'm going back. I'll go back, Lord. I'll do it next week. And I did. And you know what? It was great. It was wonderful. I wasn't trying to do too much. I had asked for some brothers, okay, you know, show me how to walk through this now. How do I do this right? And don't try to do anything else. Just be there for people. Guide them what to do. And I had fun. And I enjoyed it. It was totally different. I let Papa get the bowls down. And that's the desire of my life. And I believe God's desire for all of our lives. Let Papa get the bowls down. Yeah, we can put them on for him. But let him get them down. The Apostle Paul, he said that he had no confidence in his flesh. He was a pretty good Pharisee. In fact, he was one of the best. But he also reached that zero point where he realized, I can't do anything without Jesus Christ. And he realized, I'm the chief of sinners. In my great zeal to serve God, I was killing these people. And I believe every man and woman of God, we need to come to that place. And I'm not claiming I'm there. But I'm on the road. I know what it looks like. And I know when I fail. But He wants us, that's what He wants us to be. You know, Jesus Himself, Jesus Christ Himself, what did He say? I can do nothing but what the Father gives me to do, basically. He said it that way. And he also said in John 15, you can do nothing without me. And so what I see is the purpose of failure is so that we realize we can't do anything without Him. And He's bound and determined to bring us to that place. And He'll take us to our strongest point, the thing that we know we can do that, and He'll let us utterly fail there. Isn't that what He did with Peter? After Peter failed, hey, if there's one thing I know how to do, it's fish. I'm going fishing. And so he went fishing. And it says that all night long he caught nothing. Was that just an accident? Was it just bad fishing that night? The moon wasn't in the right phase? Or whatever? No. No, those fish weren't allowed to go near the boat. Okay. There may have been other fishermen catching fish that night, but there was no fish allowed near his boat. Because God was going to teach Peter a lesson that he would never forget. And he'll do that for all of us. He is doing that in his time and his way. Has anybody ever learned anything without failing? I don't think so. We have a saying in my house, I say it a lot, I say education is expensive. You know why education is expensive? Because you break stuff. You ruin things. It takes a lot of time. A master craftsman is somebody who's made every mistake there is to make and learned from every one of them. I'm not there yet. But yeah, you've made all the mistakes. The new guy who's learning carpentry, he's going to make that mistake to cut that board 1 inch short. Right? He's just going to do it. The new guy in roofing, you know, I don't know what the common things are in roofing, but you know, there's just certain things that you just do. It's like you got to get them under your belt. So now, okay, now I've got those mistakes under my belt. Now I can go forward here. No, you're going to make mistakes. And the thing is, think about a one-year-old learning to walk. Have you ever seen a parent berate their one-year-old because they fell? Anybody ever seen that? Not one hand. I've never seen it. I've never seen a father go, I can't believe he just did it again. He fell again. When's that boy going to get it? Man, he fell this side that time. He fell the other side the next time. Oh, I can't believe that boy. I've never seen that. In fact, I've seen the opposite. Come on, you can do it. Go ahead. Wow, look, he took 2 steps that time. He only took one the last time. He took 2 that time. My son took 2 steps. Everybody. Wow. Whoa. And he's going to take 3 tomorrow, right? Well, isn't that the way we treat our sons and daughters when they're learning to walk? Are you better than God? Are you more loving than God? Now, I'm not using this as an excuse to sin. And nobody take it that way. You know, we heard 2 weeks ago in Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We're not talking about that. Don't anybody take it, what I'm saying about failure as an excuse to sin. But you know, we do sin sometimes. We do fail that way. But having the attitude that my son had when he was 3 and a half is going to bring you to victory over your sin. Way quicker than having the attitude of defeat, depression. I can't believe I did that. Is there any hope for me? And that's how I see this message ties into Wednesday night. Wednesday we talked about the parable of the soil and the seed. See, because if you're going to be the good soil, you're going to have to face failure. I was talking about this with Laura last night. I don't think there's any soil that's just all good. Any one of you sitting here, you're just totally good soil. You know what? You're just solidly good, packed from top to bottom. And whenever the word comes to you, it just brings sprouts out 100-fold. I don't think there's people like that. I think rather, there's some good soil
in somewhere in us that responds to the word of the Lord, and beautiful things happen, and his life comes into us. But then all of a sudden, some of that seed goes in a spot and there's rocks there. There's a problem there. And see, so now the question is, how are we going to deal with it? And how we know there's a problem there is because we fail. Something goes wrong. That plant just withers and dies. And so if we're going to be that good soil that brings forth a hundredfold, we have to know how to deal with failure. And how to get something out of it. How to benefit from it so that that rock gets picked out. That weed gets plucked out. And that word can flourish and bring forth. You know, it says that the good soil, he's a man who has an honest and good heart and brings forth fruit with patience. It takes time and it takes cultivation. So that's the burden that I had about this message today, was that we could get it settled how we're going to respond to failure in our life. And that we would settle it that God is determined to bring me to the zero point where I can know that there's nothing I can do without Him. Now let's turn to God's Word. Luke chapter 22. It's interesting to me. Peter is a totally opposite person than I am. Okay? Completely. I'm just not like him at all. But you know what? We have the same need. And God had to do the same program. Well, let's look at Peter. We know Peter. He was so sure of himself. He was so bold. And Jesus says this amazing thing to him in chapter 22 of Luke. Chapter 22 and verse 31. You know, I probably should read the verses before this, because those verses, guess what they were doing? They were arguing over who's going to be the greatest. And here they are, you know, it's the Last Supper. Jesus, you know, he's ready to go. It's the Last Supper, and his guys are arguing over who's going to be the greatest. But he didn't berate them, rail on them. But look what he says to Peter in verse 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. I prayed for you that you won't fail. I prayed for you that you won't deny me." Is that what he said? Well, why didn't he pray that? Why didn't he pray? But Peter, I prayed for you that you won't even deny me one time. I prayed for you, Peter, and you're not going to do it. He didn't say that. That tells me failure is necessary. Because why would Jesus not pray for something? No, he said, "I prayed for you that your faith will not fail." Your faith will not fail. "And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." Did Jesus answer that prayer? I mean, did the Father answer that prayer in Peter's life? Amazingly. Yes. We're going to read later on what Peter had to write in Peter in his epistles. You know, he did. He strengthens us still. Jesus prayed for him that his faith wouldn't fail. Jesus knew, okay, tonight, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. You're really going to do it big time. And I'm not going to pray that you don't do that, Peter, but I'm going to pray that your faith will not fail. And that when you're converted, you're going to strengthen your brothers. And you know what? That's what happens in every one of our lives. Yes, when we're converted, and that you could say that speaking of salvation, but I think it applies to more than that. When you come around, you know, when you learn your lesson, you're going to strengthen your brothers. You're going to share the testimony of how God brought you through failure. And that's what I'd like to do today, with the help of the Lord, to share that with you all. One of the reasons Peter had to fail was because he was sure he wouldn't fail. Lord, I'm not going to do it, though everyone else does. Though all men deny you, I won't do it. I'm ready to die. Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And when you're converted, strengthen your brothers.
See, faith is what the treasure is. Faith is a treasure that the Lord looks for.
Faith is a treasure that the devil wants to get. He wanted to take Peter's faith from him.
Do you think Peter might have had a visitation after he denied the Lord 3 times from Satan? What do you think Satan was telling him?
Look at you, you big failure. You were the big guy with all the big words about how you weren't going to deny him ever. And you did it 3 times, just like he said. He even told you you were going to do it, and you still did it. You're good for nothing. You might as well forget about being an apostle. It was all a dream. Give it up. Give it up. Go fishing. You know, just go fishing, Peter. I guarantee you he heard that. Probably 100 times. Peter was in the battle for his faith. Does God still love me? Isn't that what the faith battle is? Does my Father still love me? Because I ruined $50 worth of lumber of the Lord's money? Am I still lovable? Am I still lovable even though I got confused and frustrated at this thing? I've wasted so much time in that realm of thinking God doesn't really, must not be able to love me because I'm so unlovable. Hey, isn't that where we all are? Are you lovable? Is there anybody here lovable? Before you got converted, was there anything in you that was lovable? I don't think so. No, we're all there. That's why we need a Savior. Amen. It says in Psalm 103, like as a father pitieth his son, so the Lord pities them that fear him. And that's what I tasted that day. I tasted that. I actually, you know, tasted that verse. Like as a father pities his son. I just pitied my son. I felt so bad for him. You know, because he was my son and he was a failure and I was a failure. And you know, it just was sad. And I had pity on him. And I realized he tried hard as he could. He meant well, but he failed. But I knew someday he'd learn how to get those bowls down. Grows a few more inches. Learns a few more things. He says, like as a father pities his son, so the Lord pities them that fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. Psalm 103. So many Christians are afraid to fail, and they're afraid to let others know that they are failing. Because if I let people know my failures, I'm not going to be loved. Man, if these church people knew what I did, we heard that in the testimony a couple weeks ago, they probably wouldn't love me. Because you know, they don't fail like I did. They're not failures like me. So many Christians, we're afraid to admit the failure. We think that God can't work through failure, when in fact, it's oftentimes the very place He does work through. You know, what do unsaved people need to see more than anything? They need to see how to respond when you fail. Because they have no clue how to do that. I told the story before about the nurse that I worked for remodeling her house. There's one time she was just so upset. This thing was happening at work there where she worked. She said, oh, I don't even think I could go in there. You know, I've testified for the Lord. I've been talking about Jesus and I forget what the incident was, but somehow she failed. And she just felt so, oh, I've ruined the testimony of the Lord. I've ruined it. No, you didn't ruin it. You can show how to repent. You can show people how to humble yourself. Yes. And say, you know what? I knew better. I should have done better. But I failed. I tried to get the bowls down and I broke them. And I'm sorry, would you forgive me? And I've asked the Lord to forgive me. And I've told you about Jesus and I've been witnessing to you. And here I did this in front of you. I'm sorry for being hypocritical. Would you forgive me? Would you not let that stumble you between you and God? You know, we think that we just ruin it for the Lord. When in fact, humbling ourselves, taking that humble road, that may be the thing that breaks that person's heart. That may be the thing that wakes them up to say, this is different. I mean, I know those church people go, you know, they go to church, they sing songs, they do religious things, but I've never seen anybody do that. I've never seen anybody do that at work. Make a fool out of themselves in front of everybody. God doesn't need our successes. He just needs humble people who will let Him walk us through our lives and our failures at times and show forth His glory by being the honest and good heart. Remember that said there in Luke, the honest heart. That's somebody who doesn't try to fake it, doesn't try to cover it over. They just say, yep, that's who I am. That's what I did. I'm willing to own it. God can work there. And you know what? The Word of God can work there. Where the Word of God doesn't work and doesn't bring forth fruit is when we're not honest. I had a real revelation of a verse yesterday as I was studying for this. Let me just finish that thought there and then I'll get to that. You know, God wants us to be secure in His love for us. And you see, if we're thinking that if I do this good thing for God, then He's going to love me more, it won't come out right. That's what I was trying to do with ministry things and so many things in my life, Christian life. If I could be this, then I would, if I could be a missionary, wow. You know what? God would really feel loving about me because I'm profitable. I'm bringing something good into His kingdom. That's the way I thought. I didn't go around saying that to everybody. I'd never say that to somebody. But really, that was my mentality. That's what the inner motivation. No, God wants us to be secure in His love. Whether we do a great thing, like Elijah on the mountain, Mount Carmel, wow! Or whether we just serve Him in some humble station of life and be faithful. So, this is what failure, one of the purposes of failure is to bring us to that place where we can receive God's love, not because we did everything right, but simply because He loves sinners. And I'm one of them. You know, the people in Galatians, they wrote, Galatians was written, you know, to counteract this Judaizers. These people came up there and they said, look, if you want your faith to really be right on, what you got to do is get circumcised. Okay, because that's the real way of the Lord. That's what they gave to Abraham. That's what all the servants of the Lord have been doing all these years. If you want to really get a boost to your faith, I want all you guys get circumcised. Well, Paul wrote this book and said, hey, if you guys do that, you're missing the whole boat. But he said this interesting verse that I really didn't understand so well, but he says to them, Christ, in verse 4 of chapter 5 of Galatians, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, listen to this, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision. Okay, that doesn't matter, Galatians. But faith which worketh by love. And I just looked up that word there, faith which worketh by love. What does that mean? I just had to look those words up, and I looked up that word worketh. You know, the word is, I can't maybe pronounce it right, but something like energio. It looked like the word energy, energize. And sure enough, that is the word that our word energize comes from, that Greek word.
Well, that just opened up a whole new meaning to me. The only thing that matters is faith that's energized by love. Did you catch that? Our faith is supposed to be energized by love. The things that we do for the Lord are supposed to flow out of that love that He has for us and our love for Him. That's what energizes our faith. These guys were saying, no, if you want to get your faith energized, get circumcised. And what other things do people say? You know, many things. If you want to get your faith really energized, do this. You know, I don't know. What are some of those things people say? That tell Christians that if you do this, this will really, you know, boost your faith. This will really get you on the right path. You know, certain things.
Speaking in tongues.
Okay, speaking in tongues. You know, you must speak in tongues. If you do that, that'll really do it for you. Or get baptized, you know. If you get baptized, and of course we should get baptized, but that's going to really do it. Man, that'll just energize your faith. Or get baptized in a certain way, you know. Get baptized by sprinkling. Or get baptized by immersion. If you do it this right way, then, wow, your faith is going to get energized. And here it says, no. Faith is supposed to be energized by love.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to do the things I do for the Lord because I love Him and He loves me, even though I'm a failure. So I just love that verse so much more. Energized by love. I believe my son was energized by love when he came to me. I didn't get mad at him. You know, I probably did a lot of times before that, but that time I didn't. And he was just energized by love. Hey, I want to help you some more. There's a few more bowls. Can you get them down for me? We heard about Romans 6. Brother Rick preached on that 2 weeks ago, I think it was. Yeah, that's just a wonderful revelation of the provision that God made in Christ for us to walk in victory. But guess what follows Romans chapter 6? Romans 7. And in Romans 7, we come across what? Failure. And that's why I'm saying failure is necessary. You're not going to process Romans 6 until you try to do it. And when you try to do it, you're going to fail. And you're going to be able to say like Paul, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, well, I do them. What's the matter with me? What's going on? And then comes what? Romans chapter 8. Praise the Lord. You can't get to the place of now thanks be unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord until you've been to the place, O wretch that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You've got to have the one before you get to the other. And that, I say, is the purpose for failure. Yes, failure is somehow in God's plan. I don't know how to say that correctly theologically, but I know it's true. It's part of His design. You know, in Romans 7, Paul said something amazing. He said, I've discovered that in me, that is to say, in my flesh, there dwells what? No good thing. He learned it. You know, for all his Pharisaical doings and tryings and strivings, he learned that there's nothing good in me, that is to say, in my flesh. And I believe God wants every one of us to come to that place. We must come to that place to where we say, there's nothing good in me. I can't do carpentry right, even. God, I'll blow it. I'll make a mistake. I don't trust myself even in the strongest point in my life. That can be our weakest point if we really think we're so good at it. He's going to bring every one of us to that zero point where we finally realize I can't do anything without Him. And guess what He has then? He has a vessel that He can use. Because that's somebody who's yielded. That's somebody who's done with their own agenda and their program. You know, I get scared sometimes with new young Christians who are so excited about serving the Lord. I mean, I appreciate that. Don't get me wrong. But I get scared if they have these strong visions and these strong self-generated plans and programs. Because I've been a Christian for many years now, 25 years or so, and I've seen what happens. People get hurt. Things don't work out. It becomes a marred testimony. But, you know, God can use that too, that failure. But, you know, after a while you see it coming, just like Jesus saw Peter coming. You know, I'm going to pray for that brother. Praise the Lord that his faith does not fail. Praise the Lord, brother. Amen. Go for it. Go for it. I don't want to pour any cold water on your dreams for the Lord. God, keep him that his faith won't fail. Even though he's going to have to learn a few things. That's all right. Well, Peter did. He did blow it pretty bad. It says he even cursed. You know? He didn't just deny him, but he actually cursed and swore and carried on. He just really blew it as bad as, you know, he could. Let's take a look at John chapter 21. Let's see how Jesus, who said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Let's see how he dealt with this failure. Let's see here. Verse 3 of chapter 21. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We'll also go with you." They went forth and immediately entered into a ship, and that night they caught nothing. Just like Jesus knew they would. Just like the Father made all those fish to get away from their boat. They didn't catch one fish. And they fished all night. That was their strong thing, right? I mean, if there's anything Peter could do, it was fish. But he didn't catch a thing. Jesus didn't come to him at midnight. You know, it says he came in the morning. He could have come at midnight and said, "Hey guys, look, come on in. You're not catching anything." But he waited till the morning. When they had caught nothing. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any meat?" I just hear a little bit of a touch of humor in that. "Have you any meat, fellas?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side, and you'll find." So they cast, therefore. They let the Lord get the balls down, if I could say it that way. They let the Lord get them down, and guess what? Now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. You know, when God gets those balls down, it really works out beautiful. Wow. 153 great fishes. Maybe that was the greatest catch they ever had. I don't know. And therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring up the fish which you have now caught." So Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said to them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples asked him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. So Jesus came and took bread and gave to them, and the fish likewise. Verse 15, and when they dined, after they ate, you know, they're probably pretty hungry. Don't you love how Jesus gave him a meal first before he talked to Peter about his need? Talked to Peter about restoration? When they dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these?" Remember what he said? "Lord, though all men deny you, I will not." Right? He said it how many times? Three times.
And Jesus is going to restore him now in his mercy, in his love. Do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto them, Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. What do you think he's going to feed the lambs? He's going to feed them with that comfort that he has received as a failure. Guess what, Peter? You're going to have a whole bunch of failures to deal with. Lots of lambs. Lots of little lambs that don't know anything. Feed them. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my sheep. Okay, that's two of them. And then the third time he said, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. In other words, Peter, you denied me three times. You've confessed me three times here. I accept that. Go feed my sheep. You can be an apostle, Peter. You can do it. You're not a failure. You're not a failure, Peter. You're going to be a success. You are a success. When you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Let's read what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5. The Peter who said, I'll never deny you, though all these other people do. These other 11 disciples, they're not quite as spiritual as I am, Jesus, but I won't do it. I won't deny you. Look what he says, chapter 5 of 1 Peter, and verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. Hey, I know all about it, he said. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Hey, he exalted me, guys. He brought me through. He'll bring you through. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking people that he can sift like wheat. I'm telling you from experience. It's serious. If you think you're going to stand in your own strength, forget it. Be sober, be vigilant. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We're all going to go through it. And we have to be careful that we don't judge each other when we're in the middle of that. Just because I'm not going through that right now, and you are, oh, Lord, help us not to look down. Judge. Be hard on each other. Because we're in the fire. We're in the midst of it. And we're being sifted like wheat. So that that beautiful beauty of the Lord can come out of our life. He says, But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. And I'll just say that here. You know, suffering is another part of this. That's another message. What I've talked about today is failure. And that is suffering in a way too, but there's also the suffering. And that's the other instrument he uses to break us. And suffering may not have anything to do with failure. That may just be the loving chastening of the Lord to free us from the things that bind us, you know, that hold us back, and from the wrong ways of thinking, and just from dependence on earthly things. After you've suffered a while, he's going to make you perfect. He's going to establish you and strengthen you and settle you. I'm standing before you as one who has been there, he's saying. I'm strengthening you, my brethren. Jesus prayed for me that I'd do it, and I'm doing it now. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a time when I really bad wanted to be a minister, an elder, or whatever, some kind of minister, some kind of recognized ministry. But it's very interesting.
When I went through that period of time of failure, I reached a point where I didn't care about that anymore. Because I thought it was never going to happen anyway. And I the revelation came to me, you know what? I can be blessed and fulfilled if I just get up every morning and do what Jesus wants me to do, bless, love people, serve Him. I'll have a ministry. And I started to do that. It was after Mel was ordained. Yeah. You know, I went over to Emmanuel's house. I was so disappointed, you know. And just feeling that same sense of what am I here for and so forth. And that revelation just came to me. I don't know what you said, Emmanuel, or what happened, but you know what? I got excited. Hey, I get to serve the Lord. I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to do some great thing. All I got to do is go out and serve Jesus every day. And so I started to do that. And you know what? My life started being full of joy. And I started being a blessing. And a couple years later, I was voted, you know, to be ordained. And when that happened, I had to wrestle because I wasn't sure I wanted to be ordained. I didn't want anything to mess up the groove I was in. Serious. I was like, I'm in a good groove here. If I get ordained, they might ask me to do stuff, this or that, and I'm just able to serve the Lord and do, you know, it's such a blessing. It actually was, you know, a little bit of a wrestle to just come to that point and say, okay, Lord, if that's really what you want, I'll do it. And it's so wonderful to not have to be performing to be approved of our Father. And that's, you know, that's really one of the main points that I think the Lord wanted me to say here today. So many times we're in this approval-based acceptance. I mean, performance-based acceptance. And it just doesn't come out right. We end up hurting people. We end up looking like a fool and doing dumb things. And, you know, we fail. Because you know what? God's wants to let everything manifested what is of the spirit and what is of the flesh. And so failure is one of the ways that He uses in our life to expose that which is of the flesh. Not to destroy us, not to defeat us, not to beat us down, but so that we can have everything to be born of the Spirit. That's what I want. I'm not, maybe you haven't arrived yet, but that's my goal. And I pray that for each one of us, find your acceptance in the Lord. Let your faith be energized by love. Get it settled that God does love me. Not for what I can do for Him. Do you think He needs your doing? He said it in Isaiah 66. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you're going to build for me? But then in the next verse he says, but to this man will I look, even to him that is of poor and of a contrite spirit. He says, I'm going to dwell with that guy, that one who's defeated, done with himself. He knows he can't do anything. I'm going to dwell with him. So may the Lord work that in us. May this be a room full of people who have that revelation that He can be glorified on the earth. He doesn't need our flesh. He doesn't need our good ideas.
You know, I think all of us could share testimonies of how the Lord brought us to a death. And Jesus said, except the corn of wheat die, fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. And that's not just to become a Christian, but that's after I'm saved. I remember so well how that my heart was not filled with compassion toward people when they were failing. And I sort of had that attitude. Why don't you get it together once? And the Lord had to take me to the woodshed. And I'm so thankful that He did. I'm sure there are still areas in my life that God wants to work out more of Jesus in me. I just had to think how that the Lord Jesus is standing there waiting. And when I come to my wit's end, He is there. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why You died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. Is that you this morning? Oh, thank You, Jesus. I will serve Thee. How many know that little chorus that we could just sort of sing it to the Lord in the spirit of worship? And if your heart has been touched by the Lord and you know that you need the healing grace and the mercies of God upon your life, maybe as we're singing, if you would just want to make your way forward to the altar. We're not going to take you and do something with you, but that you could just acknowledge a need and just say, Lord, here am I. I need Your love. I need Your healing. I need to just pour out my heart. I need to know Your acceptance. I have failed. Let's sing that together. Let's stand. And if anyone has a need that you would like to confess or to come forward, to just kneel at the throne of grace of mercy. I will serve Thee because I love Thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before You found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why You died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. Thank You, Lord God. There is no God like unto Thee who pardoneth and forgives and cleanses and receiveth sinful men. Oh, great are You, Lord. Thy mercies are wonderful. Thank You, Jesus. Thy love so great, so vast. Hallelujah. Could we the ocean, were the ocean ink, and every parchment on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for looking upon us in Your mercies, washing over us in Your love, in Your Father heart. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your goodness toward us. We are undeserving. But that's who you died for. That's who you came for. The sinners. The failures. Thank you, Jesus. Father, do bless now the remainder of our fellowship here together. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Just want to take a moment to open it up for testimonies. If there's someone who would like to share a testimony that will exalt our loving Savior. Is there anyone who would feel led to share something here with the congregation? Maybe a prayer request, maybe a confession. And if not, that's okay too. Thank you, Lord. There's a hand on the brother's side in the front. Just mind the Lord. Anyone else, get your hand up so the ushers can get up. Brother Lester.
I was very blessed with the message here. And it rings so true to my own failures and experiences in life. I had to think of a verse in Ecclesiastes that I was reading through maybe a couple of years ago. I don't know if I ever shared the verse here. Excuse me, my eyesight's getting a little dim, so I have to put reading glasses on. Anyway, the verse is in Ecclesiastes in chapter 6. There's a verse there that really stood out to me one day as I was reading across, came across it, and it just really popped out at me. It says, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider." And I think that's what Brother Paul did today by getting us to consider these things. It says, "God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him." I just thought that verse really, really brought it out to me, is there's nobody going to be in heaven that's saying, "I did it." It's the Lord that did it.
Hallelujah. Amen. "I am what I am by the grace of God," Apostle Paul shared. Okay, yes.
Yes, I definitely was able to relate to today's message. The whole idea of serving others and stuff. And sometimes I have in the past gotten into that mindset where I thought that I was doing something for God, but in reality sometimes I was doing it because then people would say that I was doing it for God. And so I wanted to, you know, truly make sure that I was doing as He told me, you know, not just, you know, trying to get into a particular mission or calling because I thought it was the best way, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you. There's a hand on the brother's side. Is there one in the back? Somebody else have the microphone? No? Okay. Yes, Brother Emmanuel.
This message this morning just reminds me of how the work of the ministry, sometimes it gets very, seems very worrisome and heavy and sometimes even fruitless. But I remember quite a few times meeting with Paul as he worked through some of these difficult things in his life. And time again, we would pick him up and believe in him and encourage him to go on. And so it's just a real joy to my heart this morning to recognize what God has done in Brother Paul's heart.
Amen.
And life, and has really made him be a fruitful brother in the Lord. So my word of encouragement to you this morning is if you're involved in ministry and you're tempted to think that this guy or this girl is just, you know, just never going to get it or just never going to make it and just, you know, I'm wasting my time. No, you're not wasting your time. Just continue to serve and minister the love of Christ as unto the Lord. And God will bring the fruit and God will reward in due time. So thank you, Brother Paul, for sharing this morning. It truly is a joy for us, for Aaron and I especially, to have our Brother Paul come alongside and be such a strength and support to the ministry here in the church.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. All right, who has the microphone? A hand in the back. Over on the sister's side, okay.
I like to praise the Lord for His goodness this morning, for the ability He gave for humility. I like to thank the sister that reproved me for being busybody, and I also for lifting up myself and being in this church, for the lifting up of the church. I'm sorry. Because it's, some people think you're Amish, it's, I guess it feels good. And I don't want to go that route and just want to lay my pride down and let God be glorified and Him lift, Jesus lifted up. I was like long to see Him being lifted up.
Amen. Christ Jesus, not I, but Christ. A sister's hand on the front here, Ben, Brother Ben. And, okay.
Yeah, I just was, what Emmanuel was sharing is not all true. He's just, the strength is to Jesus Christ. We don't have to carry the heavy load as long as we don't do it in our own boasting and in our own flesh and blood. If we have Jesus Christ with it, it's far much better and much easier. And the flesh and blood wouldn't have to rise up as long as Jesus is there to take it away. And it's not a heavy burden to be a ministry as long as the Lord is in it.
Jesus lifts our burdens. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sister? Yes.
I just feel really grateful for the message this morning as a confirmation to what God's been working in my life. And there was a day this week, well, Brother Paul made the statement, to be disappointed in myself is to have believed in myself. And I felt like that was just a concise way of saying a truth that I'm learning. This has happened different times, but there was one day this week that came to my mind as he was sharing this morning, where I started the day with a lot of ideals and goals and, you know, things I'm going to get done today. And I think most moms would know how that feels. And as the day went on and on and on, a lot of my goals weren't being met. And I started to feel more and more frustrated, more and more overwhelmed. And finally, toward the end of the day, it was the Lord just reminded me, I know it was the Lord, that these thoughts are not from Him. These feelings are not from Him. And I just went to my room and I said, Lord, I need a word of truth right now. And it was so beautiful. I just thanked the Lord for His word. As I just waited there, it didn't take long, but He just gave me verse after verse that applied specifically to the struggles I was feeling. Well, have I used this day right? Oh, you know, just kind of feeling like a failure. And He reminded me of verses very familiar, but, you know, like, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And so if He's guiding me, then I don't have to come to the end of the day feeling bogged down because I didn't meet all my hopes and expectations. That's an example. And so I'm just so thankful for His Word and for truth. And I feel like we heard that again this morning, and just that reminder that in myself, no, I can't do it. In Him and in His Word, there's victory and there's joy. Joy in daily life.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. On the brother's side, in the back. Yes.
Yes, I just want to thank the Lord for the message today. It was a real encouragement to my heart. And I just know, I don't know if I've come to that point of totally being a failure, but I know when we come to that point, God can use us greatly, and God can show us. And there's a verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. And that just shows me that in our weakest point, and when we're totally, when we've given up, when we feel like we're a failure, you know, God wants to show His strength through us, you know. God wants to help us through those times. So that verse came to my mind as I was sitting here, so I felt like I should share it. So thank God for the message.
Amen, brother. All right. Someone else have the microphone here? Yes. Mm-hmm. Sister Sai?
I just praise the Lord for what He's been doing in my life. I didn't know, yes, this week, I came to a point where I felt down to zero, down to nothing. And I see that God can use that. At first I couldn't see at all how He could use it for His glory. And this morning the message totally made sense to me. I know if God wouldn't have taken me through what He did, I wouldn't have understood it nearly as well as I did. And I just want to praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you. On the brother's side.
Good morning. My name is Daryl Matthews. I'm from Cleveland, North Carolina, up for a visit. And well, I haven't been to a Sunday morning service here at Charity probably since I was 12 years old. But I was very blessed this morning by the message and the worship, the song service. And I'd just like to share a personal testimony from my life. And I just praise God this morning that He brought me to that zero point that probably half a year ago. My failure was so huge. And it just loomed before me. And it was to the point of, God, I just can't do this. Absolute surrender. And I was ready to give up. And at that point is where God said, now I can use you. And He taught me a deeper level of faith, a faith beyond salvation. But as the scripture says, as you receive Christ Jesus, so walk ye in Him. So I just praise Him this morning for that.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's an encouragement. Just want to again thank the Lord for His ministry to us today. And thank you, Brother Paul, for sharing with us the word of the Lord in personal testimony. I just want to affirm what Brother Paul shared with us numerous times. Oh, to be accepted in the Beloved. Oh, what a freedom that brings. Accepted in the Beloved. And if you don't have that, I just want to encourage you. Press in. Seek the Lord. Surrender. Believe. Oh, it's so precious. Because then life takes on. That is a real major re-shifting of your world focus. I mean, everything just changes then. When I'm accepted, then hallelujah. Then it's energized by love. And it's no longer this performance thing and wondering if God's pleased with me and trying harder. So praise the Lord. And the Lord Jesus receiveth sinful men. He accepteth those that come to Him. He will not cast you out. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.